Welcome to Tori Mecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Irina Foreman, and today we will be studying Yecheskel, Perek Tet Zayin, Chapter 16. In the beginning of the Sefer, when the Navi Yecheskel didn't want to use his words, Hashem responded by asking him to demonstrate his message to the people with the use of symbols and actions instead. Yecheskel went from making miniature symbols, such as the Levena, that represented Yerushalayim in Perek Daled, to acting out a person going into the Gola before the eyes of the people in Perek Bet. All this in order to relay Hashem's message to the people in as palatable and relatable a way as possible. In the next group of Prakim, really starting from the last Perek and culminating in Perek Chav Daled, Yecheskel is asked to change it up. Use a slightly different approach. Hashem asks Yecheskel to relay his message to the people primarily by use of mishalim, parables, metaphors, if you will. Parables take center stage, to the point that in Perek Chav Aleph, Yecheskel tells Hashem, "The people call me a mashal mishalim. They view me as a teller of parables." A mashal is generally meant to lend insight regarding the nimshal, its subject. Nothing like a good metaphor to bring home a point. Mishalim are not new to us in Sefer Yecheskel. In Perek Yud Aleph, we heard about a mashal describing Yerushalayim as a pot of meat. In Perek Yud Gimel, there was also a mashal, which took the form of a slogan, in which the Nevi Sheker countered the words of the Nevi'im, falsely assuring the nation that Galut is not imminent. In the last Perek, Perek Tet Vav, we had the mashal of a barren grapevine, which represented the kingdom of Yehuda, charred by the fire and desolation of Galut, as a result of their sins. In our Perek, Perek Tet Zayin, we will explore a mashal of a young maiden who represents the people of Israel, referred to in our Perek as Yerushalayim. As the Pesukim in our Perek recount the history of the young maiden, the people of Yerushalayim, we will notice words and phrases that take us back to earlier moments in our history as a nation. Let's listen as we read, and we will try to pick up some of them. Our Perek, Perek Tet Zayin, begins with the birth of this maiden. Almost immediately, we learn that she is a castaway, an abandoned baby thrown to the fields on the day of her birth. V'tushlechi al pnei hasadeh b'gol nafshech b'yom huledetotach, without any of the basic 101 of baby care that one would expect. B'yom huledetotach lo charat shareich uv'mayim lo ruchatst l'mish'i v'hamlech lo humlacht v'achtel lo chutalt. God says, Yerushalayim, when you were born, nobody cut your umbilical cord. Nobody washed you. You weren't swaddled. God says, Yerushalayim, I passed over you at the time and saw you rolling in the blood of your birth. Blood and babies. That is a concept familiar to us from the story of Mitzrayim, isn't it? Paro ordered the just-born babies, still bloody from birth, to be thrown into the Nile, left to die. But let's hold that thought for a moment as we turn back to the Pesukim. Let's read God's reaction to this scene of the bloody baby in our Perek. God responds to this baby rolling in blood with the following words, familiar to us from the Haggadah. Va'omar lach b'damai chayi, va'omar lach b'damai chayi. Twice, God says, through your blood you will live, through your blood you will live. Here, God says, this blood is a sign of life, not a sign of death. A body covered in blood? It can mean one of two things. It can be a sign of birth, of new life, or a sign of murder, death. In our Perek, God says, I'm not going to ignore the blood of the dead babies. That blood will actually be the very thing that saves you. The babies, bloody, were thrown into the Nile. But if you think about the Nile and blood, the image of Hashem's salvation through Makat Dam begins to emerge. Our salvation began when God brought that first plague upon the Egyptians, causing their water to turn bloody. And looking ahead, the last of the Makot also involved blood, the blood of Korban Pesach on the doorposts. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's not abandon the baby. Back to the Pesukim. Revava kitzemach hasadena tatir. God not only helps this baby survive, but allows her to flourish and multiply. Instead of being strewn to the sadeh, the field, she blossoms like a plant in the fields. Rashi explains this pasuk as a reference to the population explosion of Mitzrayim that we learn about in Sefer Shmuel. Uvnei Yisrael paru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu. Israel grew exponentially. Next, back to our pasukim, this baby, the nation of Israel, she grows up. She shows signs of puberty. She grows into a woman, or into a nation, with the ability to reproduce. But she is still naked and vulnerable. Irom ve'eria. Let's continue. Va'evor alayich v'ereich. God, for a second time, passes over and notices her. When, later in the Yetziat Mitzrayim story, does God pass over the Jews? This second passing over is reminiscent of God passing over the homes of the Jews who had the blood of Korban Pesach on their doorposts. Perhaps that is the blood that God was referring to when he said, "You will live through blood, b'damai chayi." Back to our mashal, the psukim suggest that God notices this baby has matured, that she is ready for a serious relationship. V'efros knafi alayich. And so, God spreads his wings over her, as if protecting her with his wing, a euphemism for marriage. Va'achaseh ervatech. He then covers the nakedness of this maiden and enters into a relationship with her, swears allegiance to her. He forms a brit with her, which seems like a covenant of marriage. Va'avovah brit otach. If we think of our history as a nation, when did God form a brit with us, form a relationship with us? When did God marry us, so to speak? God's brit with us would have revolved around the Torah and mitzvot that he gave us. God married us at the moment that he gave us the Torah at Har Sinai, but not before washing us off with water, washing off our blood, which is the next thing the psukim tell us. God says, "Barachatzich b'mayim v'eshtoch damayich mihalayich." God washes off the blood of this maiden. Where did we encounter water on the way to Sinai? Perhaps this is a reference to Kriyat Yam Suf. By bringing us through the Yam Suf, Hashem completed our salvation, finally washing off the last drops of Egyptian blood from the nation. The psukim continue. They tell how God continued to take care of us by dressing us in beautiful rikma, beautiful clothing. He dressed us with jewelry, reminiscent of the jewelry we left Egypt with. In Egypt, vayitzu berchush gadol. God fed us the food of the dvash, honey, and the shemen, the oils, first of the man, and then of this land of Israel that he brought us into. The result was that the maiden became very, very beautiful due to the many gifts that were bestowed upon her. In the words of the pasuk, v'tiyafi b'ma'od ma'od. That language of b'ma'od ma'od, by the way, is also reminiscent of the Exodus. In Mitzrayim, Bnei Israel were many. V'Bnei Israel paru v'yishritzu v'yerbu v'yatzmu b'ma'od ma'od. This phrase, b'ma'od ma'od, seems to become a turning point in our parak, just as it was a turning point back in the story of the Jews staying in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, the increasing number of Israelites, when they reproduce ma'od ma'od, that caused the Mitzrayim to enslave the Jews. And in our parak, the maiden's overflowing beauty, ma'od ma'od, becomes the beginning of her downfall. V'tiftachi b'yofyech, she trusts in her beauty, not recognizing its source is God. V'tisni al shmeich. And then she becomes adulterous, this maiden, performing znu, seeking illicit relationships. V'tishpechi etazutayach al kol over. God says, your znu was so prolific that it was as if you poured promiscuity everywhere you went. You betrayed me. The God who was over passed over you for the purpose of saving you by betraying me in front of anyone who is over, who passes by. Worse, God says, you used the very clothing and gifts that I made for you in the service of betraying me. Betrayal of God using God's very gifts. Where in our history as a nation is that familiar from? My mind jumps to Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. The Egel was made out of the Rechush, the same jewels that God gave us when we left Mitzrayim. The Znuk, adulterous sins, apparently correspond to the Avodah Zarah of the nation. Lachmi asher natati lach solot v'shemen u'dvash hechaltich. Almost immediately after God gave us the Torah, we betrayed him. The text suggests that the wonderful food that God gave us, we use, so to speak, as gifts to Avodah Zarah. But, God says, you didn't stop at that. You fed our children to these gods. Tizbachim lahem le'achol, v'tishchati et banai, v'tishnim b'ha'avir otam lahem. You killed my children by giving them over to the gods. In fact, God says, I was over, passed over you, to save you from death when you were a child. But instead, you killed my children by being ma'avir, from that same root as over, by passing them and killing them in the service of the idol worship. The psukim continue. Ve'kol tovotach v'taznutayach lo sachart v'timeinu arayach v'yotech erom ve'erya mitbosseset b'damei chayit. Through all this, God says, You didn't even remember the days of your youth. You didn't even remember the time I saved you when you were first born, naked and rolling in your blood. In this pasuk, as well as earlier in the parak with the words Hodat Yerushalayim Atavotah, the sins of this maiden, Yerushalayim, are described as Toivot. We've had those words before. In our parak, this term Toivot takes on a new level of meaning. The adulterous behavior of the young maiden who is compared to Yerushalayim is described in Pasuk Lamed Daled as Hefech Min Hanashim, opposite of the typical behavior of a woman who strays. The maiden acts in an unexpected, offensive way, even for a harlot, in that instead of taking payment for her services, she is so desperate for prostitution that according to the Pesukim, Va'at Natat Et Nedanayach L'chol Ahavayach, she is the one that provides the payment. The mashal in the text continues, the maiden makes herself available L'chol Over, to any passerby. There's that word, Over, again. Taken in concert with its earlier use in our parak, it conveys the subtle message of ingratitude that people have for Hashem. For Hashem saved her when he was over, passed over her and noticed her distress. And now she cheats on him with all who are over, who pass by. The psukim then bring home this message more directly. Ve'ekol to'avotayach v'taznutayach lo zachart et yemeinu rayach v'yotech erom ve'erya mitbaseset b'tamayach hayit. In all of this sedut, this perverse behavior, you didn't remember your youth, the time you were naked and exposed, wallowing in your blood. In other words, the time I rescued you. The psukim go on to describe what seems like an insatiable lust for prostitution on the part of the maiden. You consorted with Mitzrayim. You consorted with Plishtim. You consorted with Asher. You consorted with Kastim. All the gods of these nations you worshipped. And each time, lo savat, your hunger was not satiated. The pasuk suggests it almost made it seem to God as though the sole purpose of your znut wasn't so much lust as it was spite. It was just lachiseni, for the purpose of angering him. So how does God, her husband, respond? Lachain zona shimidav arashem. God says, listen, prostitute. As we will see, the punishment will fit the crime. The same language of nakedness and blood, which we encountered earlier when God saved the vulnerable child, now that language will be turned against this young girl. V'gileiti ervateich aleihem, v'ra'u ekol ervateich. I'm going to gather all your lovers while exposing your nakedness. V'yivshitu otach begadayich, lakchu klei tifrateich, v'yinichuch erom v'erya. They will strip you of your clothes and take your jewels away. The image is reminiscent of the naked body of the maiden as a baby, but this time, God is the one exposing her, leaving her a erom ve'erya, in return for the way she exposed herself in prostitution. God says, I will take away the jewels and clothing that I gave you to beautify you. And instead, nutatich dam chima v'kina. Instead, I will put the blood upon you, the blood of my wrath and jealousy. The maiden will be left vulnerable to the swords, fires, and stoning of the nations with whom she consorted. The psukim go on to say that your behavior, kingdom of Yehuda, is so perverse that it makes these two sister nations, one to the north, one to the south, seem perfectly righteous in comparison to you. But tarbiya to'avotayach mehina, v'tzadki et achotayach b'chol to'avotayach asher asit. Like we see in Eicha, in Perek Dalet Pasuk Vav, v'yigdal avon batami mechatat sedom. Stone, the city that didn't have enough tzaddikim to justify being saved at the time of Abraham, now appears as tzaddikim when compared to the sins of Yerushalayim. To illustrate the point that Israel's sins are more extreme than Stone's, Chazal compare God's response to Abraham about Stone's destruction to his response to Yechezkel about the destruction of Yerushalayim back in Perek Tet. Both Abraham and Yechezkel cry out to God to save the city, and in both cases, God responds using the word ma'od, but there is a difference. Rabbi Yoshua b'Rabbi Nehemiah b'Shem Rabbi Acha Omer. Ne'emar b'Shevet Yehuda v'Nyamin Masha Ne'emar b'Stomiim. B'Stomiim k'tiv v'chatatam ki kavda me'od. Aval b'Shevet Yehuda v'Nyamin Ne'emar, and they quote Yechezkel, v'Yomar Eli, avon b'Yisrael v'Yehuda gadol b'ma'od ma'od. Stone sins are described by God with the word ma'od, whereas the sins of Israel are described using a double ma'od, ma'od, ma'od. Further proof that Yehuda's sins are doubly worse than Stone's is the same presentation of that word ma'od in double form, ma'od, ma'od in our parak, describing Yehuda beautifying herself for the purposes of Znut, b'tiyafi b'ma'od, ma'od. But despite all this, there is an unexpected twist. Zacharti ani et briti otach bimeinu arayach vakimoti lach brit olam. God doesn't destroy Yerushalayim like Sdom, as we would have expected. God remembers her, because he remembers her youth. In other words, even though the glory days of the romance between God and Israel is something that the adulterous maiden Israel has forgotten, nevertheless, God saves her, harking back to the Imeinu Urim, the early days of his brit with us. The text goes on to say, God forgiving Yerushalayim in her undeserving state will cause her shame and embarrassment for her actions, similar to the embarrassment that we saw Ezra express when he discovered the intermarriage of the people of his time. Laman chizkiriva vosht, v'lo yelach od pitchon peh, mipnei klimateach, v'chafrilach l'chol asher asi, ne'um Hashem Elokim. When Yerushalayim will remember the brit that she was supposed to keep, she will have nothing to say in her defense. Similar to the embarrassment of an adulterer, whose spouse takes them back despite their infidelity, not because they deserve it, but because of their initial commitment to each other. God keeps his brit with us, putting us to shame for not keeping our end of the bargain, our part in the marriage. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilu Nishma, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander.